Welcome back to Tip TV with myself, Matt Brown, and Alan Green. And I'm also joined by David Buick of Panmure. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good
morning, David.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. Good.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Well, at my age, I don't think so. But thank you very much anyway.
Are you a net giver or receiver of cards or neither?
Neither. No, neutral stance.
Gets to the point where, you know,
neutral stance.
It's all done, yeah. Indeed.
Starting off, Rolls-Royce numbers this morning. Headlines not great. We saw the stock trade down about 2-3%. What's your take on these?
I think basically this was a neutral kitchen sink job. I mean, Warren East has been there since his left arm holdings in great shape, about 2.5 years. In the last 3 years, Rolls-Royce shares are down about 44%. In the last year, they're up 19%. So the recovery has happened. He was quite right to post a loss of $4.4 billion this morning. Overall, that just throws everything out that looks remotely toxic. And the operating profit was down 49% at $813 million. I think we were all very happy with all of that because I think that was completely acceptable. The reason, Matt, I think the shares opened up flat, there was a lot of chat early on in the office of some brokers were calling it up 2-3%, others were calling it down 2-3%. I think what turned it for everybody was what an incredibly neutral outlook that Warren East gave, said, you know, we have work to do, but, you know, progress will be measured, or worse that effect.
You talked about new standards, didn't
you? We need more than that for the... Yep. I mean, the share price has made an incredible recovery in what, you know, in where the figures look pretty awful. Such a wonderful brand. I think he's a great CEO. I think he's a great chance. I think the other thing that I think we were disappointed with today was the fact that we just sort of accepted the £671 million fine as if it was all in a day's work. It isn't all in a day's work. I'm not holier than thou. I accept that there are cultural difficult differences in a lot of countries in the way of doing business. We would probably recall that with Tony Blair and his attitude towards BAE Systems in Saudi Arabia about 18 years ago, when it was sort of swept under the carpet as irrelevant. Well, I think we've moved on since there. Things aren't irrelevant. And in fairness, you know, when these various distinguished people like Sir John Rose and John Rishton and others have been interviewed by the Serious Fraud Office, basically, to find out exactly what's going on, because we can't just let something like that go. We need to know who was responsible for it and are the measures in to make sure that kind of thing doesn't happen again.
I think that's the main concern, isn't it, Dave? We've seen with the UK banking industry, just as we think the banking industry has finally turned the corner, we get dark pools, we get LIBOR. I think the question everyone's asking, which is probably why the share price is still neutral this morning, is how many more bribery allegations are going to surface? Because these things have a long lead time.
I suspect in this case, I don't think they are. But what we haven't had a satisfactory answer for is somebody has to be culpable for this. Mm. The other thing is that, I mean, I think there's a very clear sanguine message right here, for me anyway, that Sir John Rose was chief executive of Rolls-Royce for 12 years. That is too long for anybody because it becomes, the job becomes, you know, too easy, or you think you're set in your ways and you think you know everything that's going on, and that's exactly, you don't know. And I think poor John Rishton, who took over from him, was probably handed a hospital pass, made it very difficult. Warren East, of course, who's done a brilliant job at arms, it didn't take him long to get the drains up to find out exactly what the situation was and how things had been overvalued and overpriced, and he just, as I say, kitchen sink the thing. 2 years' time, I think we'll be pleased. I think the road is still bumpy and a few potholes in it between now and then.
Moving on, data out this morning in the UK, CPI data, RPI data, and a very strong PPI number. We've seen an increase in PPI due to...
Not really unexpected. Alan, you were saying before we went live that 1.7% was the media number that was expected. Simon French flagged up 1.9%, definitely. So he was a little bit ambitious at coming in at 1.8%, but he's very confident that it'll be, you know, 2.7, even possibly higher by the end of the year. Yep. We're starting to see the raw materials and the food and clothes. If you recall, we had virtually no inflation for 3 years in any of these efforts, and all of a sudden now you've got an 18% turnaround against the pound against the dollar and 13% against the euro. It's going to be painful. and we're going to start to see. The one thing that I was hoping to see a little bit more robust this morning was wage inflation, because that needs to be very robust, because if people have less disposable income towards the end of the year, because of inflation has really hit near enough 2.7 or 3%, people must not forget that retail constitutes 70% of GDP, and we will come off. It's not going to be Brexit, which everybody's been threatening me with now for the last 2 years. It's going to be straightforward, plain vanilla economics.
Yep.
Is that if, you know, you blame Brexit, if you like, for the drop in the value of the pound, but retail is the key to the kingdom. And if people feel good about themselves, and if they're being paid the proper amount of money, which clearly, in comparison to executive pay, they're not, then everything's in the garden is rosy. But if they're not, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, okay. And, of course, we're moving on to this afternoon. We've got Fed Chief Janet Yellen, her testimony to Congress. What do you think her take, have you any views on what her take could
be? She's slightly better than Greenspan, but I still feel we need a Bletchley Park code book.
Yes.
To find out what she's saying. I mean, she talks geek talk,
yep.
So which I find very, very hard to interpret. I mean, she is very much more conservative than her predecessor Bernanke and also Greenspan, and she takes an age to make up her mind whether the economy, I won't try the Brooklyn accent with you, is robust enough for her to crack on. The interest rate structure and the yields on US Treasuries suggest there's two in the can, in the next year, taking us up another 0.5%. There was a statement from the Philadelphia Fed Managing Director last week suggesting that you couldn't rule out March being one of them. I think her problem is basically assessing independently whether the irascible and the unreliable President Trump is going to be able to get his legislation through, particularly on the tax cuts and the infrastructure, which I suspect he is, the stock market thinks he is, because of where it's gone to. But how much of that money will actually end up in the blue-collar worker's pocket, which has got to go. My terrible fear about all this is that there's a lot of this stuff, if you cut the tax rate down from 35% to 15%, all that stuff that's been squirreled away in Luxembourg or Greece or the UK or wherever else it might be, Liechtenstein and Bahamas things, that's going to be repatriated with only 1 year. I have a funny feeling that was going to go in the shareholders' pocket rather than in the blue-collar workers' pocket, and that is the big, big problem. And that's where we need to see growth. Interesting to note with Obama that in the 8 years he was president of the United States, I accept that he collected a hospital pass, which was an economy that was not in great shape, but not once did his administration achieve 3% growth in a quarter. Not once. No. The only president on record ever not to achieve that.
Yep. Yeah.
Very interesting, and lots to look forward to with Yellen this afternoon. David, as always, it's a pleasure.
Thank you so much, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thanks, David.